Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. Beautiful songs to begin a worship service with. Considering we're commanded to worship in spirit and truth. It's amazing how we're creatures of extremities. You know that? when the charismatic movement speaks too often of the Holy Spirit, we get scared and run away from Him and afraid to mention His name. Afraid we're going to be too charismatic. We ought not to be afraid of the Holy Spirit of God and those songs that direct our attention to Him and His glorious work in our hearts. Amen. So maybe one day when we get started here and get settled in, and Lord willing, get a seminary started up, we'll go through the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful teaching. Amen. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are most humbled this morning by the songs that we've already sang. And yet these are our earnest desires, that the Spirit of God would search the depths of our hearts. Lord, we desire to be pure. We desire to be holy. We desire to be sanctified and consecrated to Thy service. And yet, Lord, that's a task which is far too high for us. We are not able of ourselves. And yet the Holy Spirit of God has been given to us by the Father and the Son to assist us in this great work. And therefore we plead this morning that You would help us, Lord God, as we open up Thy blessed book. May the Spirit of God once again be our teacher. And Lord, I pray that You would spare us from desiring merely an intellectual knowledge of these blessed truths. But Father, that the Spirit of God would take these truths and in sovereign power engrave them upon our hearts and our lives. O God, that we might be more transformed in the image of Thy beloved Son. God, forgive us of all our sins and our iniquities. Wash us and purge us. O God, we long to be white as snow this morning. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, as I read this portion of Scripture, I tremble at what our Lord is saying here, especially being a believer and knowing the deception and depravity of my heart. And yet He says here in this verse that true happiness consists of us being pure in heart. We should be humbled by what He says, and a spirit of awe and fear should strike our hearts as we turn to this next petition, this next attribute. And I hope and pray the Spirit of God would help us and encourage us to know more of its truths. Not in hopes of our obtaining happiness, but as the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. I pray that our spirit would be able to bear witness with what our Lord is saying here, in spite of the fact that in ourselves we are all but righteous and holy and pure. But in Christ we are. So I hope and pray that we would be humbled this morning by this next attribute, and yet at the same time greatly encouraged to have the same desires we sang just a minute ago. Lord, I long to be whiter than snow. Cleanse me and make me pure within. That is a desire that only a truly converted, newly born, reborn believer can express. The hypocrite has no desire to have his inward parts cleansed, for he knows he's full of iniquity and dead man's bones. But the true child of God desires, though he knows that he could never reach a state of perfection concerning holiness in this life, because he has the Spirit of God within him, that seed according to 1 John, and because he knows something about the righteousness of Christ that has been imputed to him, and he knows his standing in Christ, and that in him he is complete, the true believer desires to grow in this area of holiness and purity. As a matter of fact, as we'll see shortly, that is a great state of happiness. Purity and happiness go together, beloved.
Without purity, there's no happiness in Christianity.
But with purity, there is a great extent of happiness.
Why do you think our hearts grieve when we sin against God? Why do you think our hearts grieve and are sorrowful when we're unfaithful? Why do you think our hearts grieve and sorrowful when we're not pure, when we're not striving to be holy, when we allow the world to enter into our hearts and our affections, and our hearts and spirits are grieved? It's because purity and happiness go together. They're inseparable for the child of God. And we know that. Thank God for His glorious salvation. Thank God that we're preserved by Him. Thank God that we don't have to keep our salvation. We couldn't keep it if we tried. Thank God for the Spirit of God and for being sealed by the Spirit of God and for that salvation which Christ has so wonderfully given us and promised to keep us in. Without Him and His merits, dearly beloved, none of these attributes would ever be possible for us. So again, I want to emphasize that. Our Lord is not speaking how we can obtain happiness, but He's speaking and declaring unto us what happiness consists of. And I hope and pray that our spirits would bear witness with what our Lord is teaching here in this text this morning. For as in the days of Christ, though many, as we've already heard, had been eyewitnesses of His miracles and sat under His preaching and teaching, yet many remained ignorant and blind to the true nature of His kingdom. And that amazes me every time I even say that and think about that. When I think about, here's the Son of God who preached. Who could be a better preacher than the Son of God? Whose messages were more blessed than Him who had the Spirit without limit, bountiful Spirit? And yet, people were still blind. And this proves the depravity of the human heart. Gross depravity of the human heart. There must needs be a work of sovereign grace in the heart that even the Son of God preaching, people would still remain ignorant and blind to the true nature of His kingdom. And yet, beloved, it's true even today. So many people profess to be following Christ. I cast no condemnation on anyone or judge their salvation. I'm simply looking at the fruits of the majority of those who profess to know Christ. So many profess to be followers of Christ, yet remain blind and ignorant to the things of Christ. Timothy says they have a form of godliness. They have a form of godliness, yet in their life they deny the power thereof. In their life and their conduct, they deny the power. And that's why it's my prayer, dearly beloved, that we would not simply learn the language of what our Lord is teaching us here in the Sermon on the Mount, and also in every sermon we preach and every truth we hear. Lord, teach us not the language of it. Let us not simply be echoers of Your Word. But Lord, let that Word sink deep down into my heart and affections and make a transformation in my life. Let me live the power of that truth, not merely speak it. Let me possess the joys of that. Let me know more of that. And this is the feeding of which He was speaking about, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. The more He feeds us, on one side we're full of His goodness and mercy, and yet on the other side we hunger for yet more and more. We thirst for yet more and more of Christ. And that is the new spiritual life. A hypocrite can't have that, won't have that. He hungers and thirsts for nothing but his own desires and lust and pleasures, but not for the things of Christ. And so I hope and pray that we would not learn the language of the Beatitudes, but the power of the Beatitudes in our own lives. So many people conform themselves outwardly to certain religious duties, regulations, and rules. They trust in their own opinions or compare themselves with others rather than with the Word of God and Christ. They even restrain themselves from certain immoral acts. These people believe themselves to be religious. Yet, beloved, the only true and sure touchstone upon which we can prove the genuineness and validity of our salvation is the Holy Word of God. Amen? That's the touchstone. And those of you who don't know what a touchstone is, a touchstone was a certain rock that was very, very hard that they would prove the strength of their swords by. They'd strike their sword against that rock to prove the genuineness, to prove the stableness of their sword. The strength of their sword. That's what a touchstone is. And the touchstone to prove the validity of our salvation is the Word of God and nothing else.
Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity of heart has always been not only the very essence of true Christianity, but the very result and cause of true and lasting happiness. Holiness is not only the very source, the very essence of Christianity. It's holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Lord says. That's the very essence of Christianity. It's holiness. But it's not only the very essence of Christianity, it is the very essence of happiness. For true Christianity, dearly beloved, I hope and pray we all realize and recognize, lies in the heart. It's in the heart. And here, holiness and happiness are inseparably yoked together. Psalms 24 asks two very heart-searching questions. Verses 4 and 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy presence? Again, this question humbles us and should strike a certain sense of awe and fear. Who shall ascend His holy hill? Who shall stand in His holy place? Who is worthy of doing that? The psalmist answers, He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. Not just clean hands, but a pure heart. Who hath not lifted his soul up unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Mankind would place the power of religion in the head or in the hands every time. What I'm doing for God, what I know about God. I always place the power of religion in the head. Yet God declares in our text, the power of Christianity is in the heart, and that in a pure heart. The power of Christianity is in a pure heart. Now again, this subject is vast this morning, and I'm not going to have time to go into details about it, but there's a lot in the Scripture which speaks about the results of a purity of heart, and one of them is power. There's power in purity. Power against sin. And if we have any idea how powerful sin is and the temptation of sin, we would realize that holiness is that weapon by which we ward off sin and its temptation. There's a power in sin. Our Lord said, the power of religion is not in the head nor in the hands, but in the heart, and that in a pure heart. Our Lord explains it even further in Matthew 7. We've heard this before too, 22 and 23. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful things, wonderful works? Hand, head religion. Yet our Lord replies, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And like we said before, works for Christ done without purity of heart is iniquity in the eyes of God. It's iniquity. Everything we do for Christ must stem out of love for Christ, out of a pure heart for God. Any work done in the name of the Lord, regardless of how sincere or great it may be, without purity of heart, is a work of iniquity, according to our Lord's words. It's a work of iniquity. And no man born into this world is born with a pure heart. Job asks the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. He answers his own question. Not one. He asks again in chapter 15, verse 4, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Job understanding the depth of our depravity. And yet the Lord says happiness consists in a pure heart.
Job again asks a third question in Job 25:4. How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Impossible. Immediately, these verses, along with our Lord's statement here, causes us to humbly approach the Word of God in search of an answer of what our Lord is speaking about. How can we be considered happy with something we don't possess? Purity of heart, beloved, is impossible for man to achieve, for his heart is desperately wicked. Therefore, he needs a new heart. A new heart, which alone God can create. Ezekiel 36:26 says that a new heart, says the Lord, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The Lord, in the rebirth, in being born again, conversion, regeneration, wonderful biblical terms, removes our stony heart and gives us a new heart. He doesn't fix the old one. He doesn't try to tune up our old heart because it's too desperately wicked. You say, well, preacher, I don't remember the Lord taking my heart out and giving me another one. No, this is in a spiritual sense. He sovereignly removes the inclinations of our old heart completely while imparting unto us an inclination for something we never had a desire for before. The things of God, the things of Christ, holiness and purity. This is the inward circumcision made without hands that only God can do. This is the great wonder and marvel of the new birth. That our hearts are not renewed, but that we are given new hearts. New. A new heart which longs to love, adore, and worship God. Amen. The stony heart of sin and destitute of any spiritual life is removed at regeneration, born again, a new heart. And now with this new heart, Christ is made the sole object of its love and affection. Say not, dear friend, that you know Christ, yet do not possess a heart full of love and adoration for Him. For then you know not Christ. Because that new heart, again, its sole object and desire and longing is to love and adore and worship Christ. If you have not such a heart, I pray you'd learn to weep and grieve over a heart that has no room for Christ and has not Christ as its sole object of love. That is a terrible heart to have, which loves not Christ. That's why Paul says, any man that loveth not Christ, let him be cursed. For it's not merely well thoughts for Christ, but a fervent love and adoration for Him coupled with purity of heart, which shall enable you to see God. So you see, the new heart of which our Lord is speaking about is something that a lost man could never have and possess, because God has to give him a new heart. So again, he's talking about things, declaring things wherein true happiness consists. And he said, herein true happiness consists, in a pure heart. And if you have a pure heart, you shall see God. Now let's kind of stop just for a minute and apply that practically to our own salvation. Now, everyone in this room this morning that's been truly born again and saved, do you remember exactly what transpired when you came to a saving knowledge of Christ? Oh, it might not have happened instantaneously in your mind and affections. Salvation is instantaneously, but you might not have come to awareness of it until days, weeks, or something later. But you realize what was taking place in your life? Your affections were completely transformed. You begin loving somebody that you've never seen before, longing and hungering for truths that you didn't hunger and thirst for before. Your life was transformed. Amen? It was transformed. And you began to see God for the first time. Changed your life radically. The old hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," says it best: "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And though you could not grasp the meaning of all those words, you knew something of its context, of its essence. Something has apprehended me and overwhelmed me. And now I long to know more of Him. For though even though the true believer may experience sad times of coldness and indifference towards the things of Christ, and we all do, proving still the depravity of our hearts, yet it's from the new heart which come cries for a clean heart. The new heart cries to be clean. Doesn't cry that the old heart be clean. The Lord says nothing about cleaning the old heart. He says, "I'm going to take that away and give you a new one." But from a new heart, and there are times that the Christian goes cold and indifferent, and the things of Christ seem as though nothing to us, and heaven appears to be brass, and our affections are not what they used to be. And when times like that happen, the new heart cries to be cleansed. Create in me a clean heart. Psalm 51, David's penitent psalm. I want to preach that psalm one day. That was the last series I preached in Germany before I left on Wednesday nights. Gloriously rejoiced preaching on that. Greatly humbled, and yet I'm telling you, you want to learn something about sin, confession of sins, forgiveness, reconciliation, peace with God. It's all in Psalm 51. But Psalm 51 says it best: create in me a clean heart, not a new heart. The psalmist already had one, but he wants a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's the cry of the new heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, proving again that this blessedness or happiness is not a condition one earns, but one which arises from an already changed nature. The very life of the believer lies in the inner nature, beloved. And this new nature thrives, prospers, and flourishes by purity within. This new nature thrives, prospers, and flourishes in holiness and purity. For they shall see God. Now, this doesn't imply a visual revealing of God like some people will tell you today. They've seen visions and dreams and it's not what he's saying, but the language of Scripture defines sight as understanding, enlightenment, and knowledge. The language of Scripture says seeing means light or enlightenment, knowledge, and understanding. So in other words, he's saying those that are pure in heart and desire to remain pure in heart shall see, understand, know more, be enlightened with the things of God. You'll increase in the knowledge of God, whereby grace and peace are multiplied. 2 Peter, remember? God will enlighten us to this blessed book more than we've ever... You know, God is the one who must open our understanding. Christ, one of His offices, not only king and priest, but He's a prophet, which means a prophet reveals the truths of God. And so, when our hearts are kept pure, and God will enlighten us and open up this blessed book to our understanding and reveal unto us the rich blessings of His truths. I think this is why so many Christians, the Bible gets old and they lose hunger and thirst for reading the Scriptures, because they don't get nothing new out of it anymore. It's a dead book. It's become a dead book. And purity of heart enables us to see things out of the Word of God. Never forget, and I'm sure you've had the same experiences, but never forget just a few months ago when the Lord opened up my heart. It doesn't have to be a whole passage of Scripture. It could be just one word or a few, but the treasures of darkness. I shall show you the treasures of darkness. I'm telling you, I'm still bathing in the blessedness of that. And yesterday I heard a hymn that mentioned that God shall show you the treasures of darkness. And I thought, you know, we have such a wonderful God that even in darkness, His mercy and grace enlightens us and shows us things we would never know. There's so much more, beloved, in this book to know and learn. So much more about Christ, and yet it's purity of heart which enables us to see God. So maybe now you understand why the Spirit of God, which is given to us by the Father and the Son, convinces us of sin and convicts us of sin, and we're struggling with it. Praise God for such conviction. Because what is one of the Spirit of God amongst many? What is one of His works or tasks? To show us the things of Christ. And if it takes convicting us of sin, I'll get it out in a minute, then He'll do that. What a wonderful salvation. I don't see how anybody can believe that you can lose something that you don't even have power to keep. You couldn't get it, and you can't keep it. Thank God for His preservation. And thank God for the Spirit of God who works mightily in us in spite of ourselves. And my story. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in His holy presence? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. What is man that he should be clean? We must shamefully cry back. How shall I ascend such a holy hill and approach such a holy God? It's amazing, especially when you read the Scripture when it says, He is born of a woman, how should he should be righteous? And behold, he putteth no trust in the saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water? We hear those verses and we hear these questions and we say, Lord, who is able or worthy amongst man to approach such a holy God? There's only one. There's only one who can claim the privilege. There's only one who's qualified. There's only one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Only one. And He's ascended into heaven as our head and forerunner. And in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him.
Amen.
That's how. It's not my righteousness. Neither is any purity of my own, for I have none. But it's in the glorious salvation of Christ that enables me to approach such a holy God, to ascend such a holy hill, and stand in His presence in the fullness of joy, because I'm adorned with the righteousness and purity of my Savior. What a glorious salvation. Wherein does true happiness consist? Purity of heart. For then we shall see God. And may God help us, grant us a ever longing desire to be ever more pure, to be daily cleansed by the Spirit of God, that we might see more of God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for Thy Word, and how we pray that God, it would do much, much more, infinitely more than just impress our intellect or curiosity. But oh God, how I pray that the Spirit of God would do a sovereign work of grace, and Lord, engrave these truths deep within inside of our hearts and our affections, God, that we might know of their power. And Father, I pray for those this morning that knows nothing of this purity of heart, who see not God. Lord, how I pray, God, that You would break that heart of stone. May Your Word be like a hammer And Father, may it be like a sword. God, how I pray that, Lord, You'd convict of sin this morning. And Lord, that You'd convert sinners. Give them the new birth, Father. Give them a new heart. Lord, I pray that You would be honored and glorified in all that we say and do. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.